Good morning. I want to build what I have to share this morning off of that video, but first I want to remind us that Christmas is not about what we have to do. Christmas is about what God has already done for us. Christmas is about God initiating a plan to buy back or redeem with the birth of Christ and ultimately with the death of Christ what Adam gave away on the cross. And from the baby in the manger to the man on the cross, you and I have been called into a relationship with the living Christ. And I think of all people, we should be a people that abound in hope because of what God has done in Christ. One of my favorite verses is Romans 15, 13, and it says, And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can make that word a declaration over your life or make it a declaration over somebody's life. I just want to speak it over us now. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of all seasons, Christmas ought to be a season of hope because of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, to not live with hope is to deny the goodness of God and the very reason Jesus came as a baby in a manger. To not live with hope is to deny the goodness of God and the very reason that Jesus came as a baby in a manger. And I want to talk about that some more in a moment, but maybe you gathered this from the song. The title of my word this morning is Always Winter, But Never Christmas. Most of you probably recognize that video clip was from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, both the book and the movie written by C.S. Lewis. For those who may not be too familiar with the story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is about four children who find themselves transported into this magical land of Narnia. And when they enter the land of Narnia and begin to meet some of the residents of Narnia, they learn that Narnia has been under a curse by the White Witch for over 100 years. And as a result of that, Father Christmas has not been able to come to Narnia, and therefore it is always winter and never Christmas in Narnia. And the people had lost a lot of hope and despaired their situation. Earlier this year, Pastor Tony went through our prophetic history as a church. And out of that, he came away with a sense that the best is not in the past, that the best still lies ahead of us, that there is a great move of God coming. We can look forward to the second coming of Christ. But sometimes it can seem like it's always Christmas and never winter as we're waiting for those times. When will Christmas come? When will the best come? When will we see the next great move of God? This is something we've waited for and longed for years. Pastor Jim talked about it before my time. I talked about it. Pastor Tony's talked about it. We do believe there is a great move of God coming. But how do we live in the meantime as we wait for that which we've hoped for so long? How do we live in this season? And I want to draw several parallels out of this story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, to kind of bring that point home to us today. The first is what I'm calling perpetual winter. Narnia's perpetual winter is a picture of our world under Satan's rule, under the rule of the power of the prince of the air. And as a result of living in this broken world with Satan and his minions, many of us struggle. Many of us find that we struggle with disappointments and discouragements in our lives. And even in this congregation, I know there's people that are struggling with issues in their lives. Whether it be physical illnesses, whether it be financial problems, whether it be relationship issues, whether it be broken or dysfunctional families, maybe the larger anxieties. What in the world is going on in our nation today? And what's happening in the world today? And how is that going to affect my life in the future? And these are some of the things that we struggle with in this day and age in which we live. But Peter warns us in 1 Peter 5:8, he says this, be of sober spirit, Be on the alert. In other words, be of sober. Slap yourself in the face. Wake up. This is not a time to be complacent. This is the time to be on the alert. Why? Because we have an adversary that's roaming around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And the enemy, I believe, wants to rob us of all hope and joy. And when the enemy is able to get our focus off of Christ and onto our disappointments and onto our discouragements and onto our problems, it's easy for us to begin to believe the lies that he's whispering in our ears. What Satan is doing is he's looking for someone to come into agreement with him so he can devour them. And when we listen to the lies and we begin to harbor those in our heart, we open the door for the enemy to come and devour us as we come into agreement with his plan for our lives instead of the Lord's. St. Augustine said something very challenging. He said this, "For a believer, discouragement and despair can become sin because it negates the hope we have in Christ." Actually, I watered that down. What St. Augustine said was, for a believer, discouragement and despair is sin because it negates the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Now, I know we're all going to wrestle with discouragement at times. We're all going to wrestle even maybe with despair. But we cannot allow those things to reside in our hearts. If we let them reside and we don't fight against them, it then becomes sin for a believer because we negate the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, in Romans 8:25, it says this, "But if we hope for what we do not see, if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it." Now, whether we're talking about the coming of the next great move of God, whether we're talking about God coming into my life and intervening in my personal situation, whether we're talking about the second coming of Christ, what we do is we persevere as we wait eagerly for the Lord to come. So you're talking about the next great move of God, I'm going to persevere and wait eagerly for the move of God. If I'm dealing with a situation in my life and I'm seeking the face of God, I'm going to persevere. I'm not going to embrace the despair. I'm going to persevere and wait eagerly for the Lord's answer to come into my life. Consider for a moment this verse in Romans 8:19. It says, "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." And I believe you can interpret that verse in an end time sense, and the Lord returns and the sons and daughters of God finally stand up. But I believe it also speaks to me that we have a role to play as we wait for the next best thing, as we wait for the next move of God, as we wait for the second coming of Christ, as we wait for God to move in our lives. I believe God's given us a purpose in the now. God has called us, he's commissioned us, and he's empowered us to bring heaven to earth. We carry that with us. We carry the eternal. There's nobody else on this planet that's going to do it if we don't do it. We carry the eternal hope of Jesus Christ. We have a role to play in the unfolding of human history. Just think of that. You and I, what are we? We're ordinary people. But we have an extraordinary God living within us, and we have a role to play in the unfolding of human history. The second parallel I want to draw out of this story is what I'm calling rumors of the king's return. In the land of Narnia, as the children interacted with the citizens of the land of Narnia, they began to hear rumors that Aslan, the king of Narnia, the true king of Narnia, who happens to be a royal lion, and I believe represents Christ, that Aslan was on the move and was going to return shortly to the land of Narnia. Now, as desperate as the people were, after 100 years of this curse from the White Witch, as desperate as they were, they allowed themselves to be encouraged by those rumors. So, I challenge us with this. Today, when we hear words that say, well, the Lord's coming, there's going to be a great move of God, this year or whatever, when we hear people with visions or dreams about God coming soon or God coming in a mighty way, or even someone prays and speaks over you personally that God's, you know, they tell you that God's going to come and meet your situation, whatever it is, how do we respond to it? Do we allow our hearts to be stirred and encouraged us when we hear those words and those rumors? Or do we push them aside because we've heard it all before and nothing ever changes? You understand what I'm saying? If we don't allow hope to reign in our hearts, and we're in ourselves maybe in the middle of a very difficult season that's been going on for a long time, the enemy's going to come and devour us if we don't hold on to what the Lord has said. We must guard our hearts against the voices of doubt and despair, and guard our hearts that they would not, those voices of doubt and despair would not drown out the promises of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, in the Passion Translation, I knew I'd get it, it says this: "For all of God's promises, all of God's promises, find their yes of fulfillment in Christ." In other words, Christ stamps every one of the promises we have in Scripture and the promises God makes to our heart, He stamps them with His yes. But it goes on and it says this: "And His yes and our amen ascend to God and bring Him glory." It's not just His yes, it's our amen. It's our agreement with those promises that brings glory to God. Excuse me. So Christ stamps amen on, yes on His promises, and you and I come into agreement and say, amen, I agree with that. That is going to happen. I believe it. I'm going to hold on to it no matter what happens in my life, no matter what's going on in the world around me. I am adding my amen to His yes so that my Father in heaven is glorified. And goes on and says, "Now it is God Himself who has anointed us, and He is constantly strengthening both you and us in union with Christ." You know, it doesn't really matter how you feel. Truth is truth. And God is constantly strengthening us to be successful in these days in which we live. The third parallel I want to pull out of this story is what I'm calling the equipping of the saints. As the time of the king's return drew closer in Narnia, the curse began to weaken, and it allowed Father Christmas to come back into Narnia. And when he arrived there, he took his time to encourage the children and to equip them for the struggle that laid ahead of them. He knew that there was a great battle coming for them to hold on to the promises that they had. And so he equipped them for that. And then 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says this in the Passion Translation again: "Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by His divine power." Now, I think I have a lot of needs in my life. And there are times my needs become very critical, in my mind anyway. And maybe in the natural they are critical. But it says here that I have everything I need let me read it again. "Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by His divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing Him who has called us by name and invited us to come to Him through a glorious manifestation of His goodness." I believe in Christ we have everything we need to face our struggles and be successful in this life and the one to come. It goes on in verse 4 and it says, and as a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price. They're beyond anything this earth can offer. He's given us these magnificent promises that are beyond anything this world can offer us. So that through the power of what? These tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you've escaped the corrupt desires that are of this world. Through the power of these tremendous promises, the promises that you and I, the promises that Jesus stamped a yes to, and you and I say amen to, because we're in full agreement with those magnificent promises, and they release a power in our lives. Do not allow the enemy to convince you that you have no part to play. God has called each and every one of us. Do not allow the enemy to convince you have nothing to offer. When you're in the middle of a trial or what seems to be the darkest hour, it is not time to quit. It is time to call on the promises of God and reaffirm your commitment to Him and put an amen on those promises that God has given you. Whether we're talking about the promises of Scripture or maybe God has spoken a personal word to you, you're going to put your amen on it, even in the darkest hour of your life, and you're going to say, yes, God is going to deliver me, save me, help me, walk with me through this, whatever. The fourth temptation, or the fourth parallel I want to draw out of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is what I'm calling the temptation to compromise. The temptation to compromise. Edmund, one of the four children, had allowed himself to be lured away by the white witch in hope of immediate comfort. She deceived him with the hope of fulfilling his desires immediately and solving his problems immediately. And today, I believe the world and Satan pull on our affections, particularly in the middle of our disappointments, particularly in the middle when we're the most discouraged. Satan is going to come and he's going to pull on us to draw us away from the hope that we're supposed to harbor in our heart concerning Christ. Edmund, unfortunately, chose to align himself with the white witch. And I think you and I make choices every day that either align us with God or Satan. We make choices every day that set the course of our lives, whether we realize it or not. Every day we make choices that are either draw us closer to God or further away from the Lord and closer to the enemy's plans. Every single day, all throughout the day, will we go deeper in faith and hold on to the promises of God or believe the lies of the enemy? Now, I want us also to understand this, that when we agree with one thing, we're challenging another thing. When you agree with Satan and his lies that he's whispering in your ears, you are challenging the Word of God. So how do we live in this season? This is, the Lord dropped this in my heart a couple months ago as I was thinking about this. And this is kind of the crux of what caused me to teach on this morning. And it's this. The time of God, or the time of Aslan being on the move with respect to the story of Narnia, the time of Aslan being on the move, or the time of God being on the move, and we've heard words and rumors that God is on the move, the time of God being on the move is just as important as the actual time of His arrival. I'm not living just for some moment when God's going to take me to heaven. This season in which I live and wait for that which I've hoped for is just as important as when the Lord returns. In this season of waiting on the Lord, we must hold on to our hope, not passively, but actively. Pastor Tony's addressed this a couple times recently in Matthew 11, 12, when he said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent men take it by force. Yes, we all want to see miracles. We all want to see broken bodies healed. We all want justice for the righteous. But how do we live in a time of rumors and small indications that God is on the move? How do we move in a time when there's a healing here and a word there? Where one prayed for is healed, another prayed for dies. When one family experiences great triumph, another family experiences tragedy. How do we live in these times? Regardless of the brokenness that we see around us, we must take hold of the reality that God is coming. He's coming in the next great move of God. He's coming into my life to deal with my issues. He's coming in His second return. And I believe He's at work. It's in these types of season that He's at work in our lives in ways that we do not know, and He's preparing us for the days ahead. And if we don't allow Him to speak to us and deal with us and work in us now, we're not going to prepare for the days ahead. Somebody once said this: across the board, in all of life, we feel the tension of the now, but not yet, of history and hope. Across the board, in all of life, we feel the tension of now, but not yet, of history and hope. However, sometimes it can feel like there's a lot more not yet than now. As believers, we have the hope of a baby in a manger. As believers, we have the hope of the man on the cross. As believers, we have the hope of the resurrected Christ seated in heavenly places. Jesus took on human flesh to give us an eternal outlook and eternal hope. In Micah 5, verse 2, it says this: "But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Jesus has come, and Jesus is coming, and He's coming to be King and Lord and to rule over this earth. But we have to understand that the kingdom of God has a past reality, it has a future reality, and it has a here and now reality in our lives. God allows us glimpses into eternity here and now as we wait for our eternal redemption. Jesus Himself said, "I am He who is and who was and is to come." Don't just embrace who He was and the one to come, embrace Him now, who He is now in your life. We must guard our hearts against both discouragement and compromised living. As the people of God, we are called to live with a heavenly perspective. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. That's where I ought to see things from, not from down here in the gutter. And if all I see is myself down here in the gutter, I become a gutter mouth. I'm not talking about bad language. I'm talking about bad thinking. I believe God calls us to be faithful in the natural so we can impact the eternal. God calls us to be faithful in the midst of our trials and storms so we can impact the eternal. We have the privilege of working with God to bring His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Bill Johnson said something I thought was interesting. He said, "Do not allow yourself to be shaped by what does not happen. Rather, be motivated by what God has done." How many times do we allow ourselves, our life, our outlook, to be shaped by what has not happened? "God doesn't hear me. He's deserted me. He doesn't love me. I've committed too bad a sin." Whatever it is. Don't allow yourself to be shaped by what you think hasn't happened. Instead, look back on your life, look at the testimonies of God in your life, and let that motivate you to live in this season with the hope of Christ in your heart. Let me just conclude with a few thoughts. As winter began to thaw in Narnia and spring began to break forth, it's really a picture of the incarnation of Christ. The Word becoming flesh has forever transformed this world in which we live. The supernatural has broken into our ordinary, everyday lives. Hello? It's not just when we see something happen in a service where obviously it's a miracle. God has already supernaturally broken into our ordinary, everyday lives. In 1 John 3:3, it says, "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure." If you fix your hope on your discouragements and your problems and your difficulties, you're not going to be motivated to live a holy life. But when we put our hope fixed on Christ, it purifies us just as he is pure. When our hope is set on Christ, it will empower us to live holy lives, and it will guard our hearts from the temptations of this world. C.S. Lewis, the author of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, his wife said this: "Jesus told us not to fear. Why do we not believe him? Jesus told us not to be afraid, not to be anxious, not to worry, not to be apprehensive. Why do we not believe him?" And it goes on and she says this: "If we should ever grow brave, what on earth would become of us? If we should ever get to the point where we're willing to believe God's word at face value, it's true, I'm never going to deny it, I'm never going to doubt it, I'm going to rehearse it, I'm going to go over and over it, I'm going to put my amen on it, what kind of people would we be?" Chris Vallotton said this, and I thought this was very interesting. He said, "The bridal chamber is beginning to be assembled. The feast is being prepared, and the bride is making herself ready. Whether we are called children of God, the engaged bride, a royal priesthood, the apple of his eye, or a new creation, one thing that is for certain, we have captivated the heart of our lover, who is leading a majestic entourage, for he has mounted his white horse and is making his way toward the planet." That's the picture we need to hold in our hearts, even in our darkest days. Jesus is on the move. And the consequences of that move are eternal. This is not a season to be spiritually complacent. We must fight against discouragement, fear, sin, and all those things that the enemy throws at us. The Christ child has come. The man on the cross has overcome death, and we are seated in heavenly places with the resurrected Christ. There is a Christmas coming, and it's not a holiday, but one of great significance. It will not always be winter. C.S. Lewis said this: "Christmas has come and is coming. And I am longing for its blessing to flow far as the curse is found." I just pray for this morning that God would break off of us discouragement, despair, that he would break down those walls that we've allowed the enemy to build around us to confine us and to prevent us from being all that God's called us to be. God, I ask you that you would lift our hearts and lift our affections above this earth and seat them in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. May we take hope in the birth of Christ, which is past. May we embrace the reality of Christ in us, which is present, and maybe look forward with anticipation to the second coming of Christ, which is future. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen? All right, I want to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to end this with a song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Are our eyes and our ears open to what is happening in the world today? Are we paying attention to those rumors that God is on the move? Are we listening to people who have a vision or a dream or a word about the coming of Christ? Are we allowing it to stir our hearts and encourage our hearts?
Just end by praying a blessing over you. King David, servant of God, said, I would have lost hope unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, Father, I pray over your people this morning that they would be full of confidence in seeing your goodness, not just in eternity, not just tomorrow, but today. Lord, we believe that you will display your goodness to your people in the land of the living. I pray this season of Christmas, of coming of Jesus, Lord, for eyes to be confident in your goodness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right.